I'm not even mad.
I hope not.
No, there's not. I mean, how could anyone really, really be mad at you, Amazon? I mean,
I'm trying to say,
how could
it's impossible?
I know, right?
Or should I say, golly gee?
You know,
all right, I'll be good. Okay,
okay.
I got it.
So, at the time of this recording, this is, I believe, our third episode that we've recorded for today. You know, we bring you the content. And when I say that we bring you the content, I mean, that's exactly what we're doing. But in order to bring it to you, we got to make it. And today was the day. So let's get this show underway. It's your man, 50 Grand, no mic in his hand. The Gigolo, MC Johnny T, a.k.a. you know who. You guessed it, Thick Flair. Along with the queen of everything, the CEO of everything Pugdemic. We're talking about Amazon. And I'd like to wish you a Merry Thickness as well. How are you doing this evening?
Merry Thickness to you. It's October, so it's almost Christmas. So we can say Merry Thickness, right?
Dude, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Where all the thick women take pictures in their naughty Santa Claus outfits. And their Thick Demic t-shirts available as one of the collections at punkdemic.com. Yes, sir. Make sure you swing on by to punkdemic.com. If you happen to be plush or happen to have a plush loved one in your life, you are going to definitely want to introduce them to the Thick Demic collection, where we wish you a Merry Thickmas and dance around a Thickmas tree and anything else that we can put anything thick related on there. You know, we're going to do that. So, baby, if you're a little chubby, baby, or you got your little chubby baby, you go ahead and get you some of that stuff from Thick Demic over there off of punkdemic.com, baby. It's going to be the greatest stuff because we keep it funky like a monkey, baby. That's what we do around here. That's what we do
funky
around here.
Funky like a monkey?
Keep it funky like a monkey, baby. That's what we're doing right here.
Wow. And I got to behave, but you could be funky like a... Never mind. Hey, okay.
I used all clean words in my behavior. I'm all good.
You truly...
We're all to the good. We're all to the good. Oh, all right, God. Man. We've got a full house for today's episode. No question about it. We've got a couple of cats who visited us before, and they brought some more friends along this time. So I'm going to bring everybody in one by one. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to do a lot of clicking on this episode today. But you know, at Amazon, you get to do a lot of talking. And of course, you know, I'll come in and save
damn
the day.
Damn nerves.
Save the day in those moments when you need a reliable tag team partner who can come in and just save the show.
I got Jay today. Jay's got my back. Jay's got, I don't need you today. I got Jay. Walt's got my back. You know what I mean?
Dirty Walt's got your back.
He's got my back.
Jay's got your back.
Jay's
Mark's
got my
back. Your back.
Everybody.
Green's got your back.
Everybody's we don't need in the you building. Today. Yes.
What's what up, guys? How's everybody doing?
Hey.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Woo. I don't think we've had this many guests on that one.
I don't think so.
Ever.
One, two, three.
We are putting the software to the test today. We're going to find out if this is worth that monthly fee. We're going to get,
you
gonna
know
get
what?
Down with it.
We are on the air. We are recording. Can we not?
Oh.
Can we not? See, you set me up again. All right. So, Johnny, say hi to everybody and then get thank you. God.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, my God. Goodbye. Hello. Thank you. Hey. So, who didn't I speak to before? The drummer.
Hey, Amazon. How you doing?
Introduce yourself, drummer man. I've been wanting to talk to you forever because your hair is nicer than mine.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Kareem, and I play drums in Year of the Dragon, and just so proud to be with this crew. This is an amazing group of guys, and, you know, it's been a dream come true for years, and, I'm living a dream.
Nice. And next to you, it's like the Brady Bunch, the squares. So next to you... The other gentleman I haven't spoken to yet. Yes, you.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself.
This is Mark. Mark Ray, you're the dragon. Good to meet you. Thank you for having us. Thank you for supporting us. I've seen what you did before with the interviews with Walt and Jay. Much love to you. And thank you for having me on.
Aw, no problem. So since I had Jay and Walt on, was it like a year ago, guys?
Oh man.
At least, right? It's been at least a year or more.
It's been over a year.
You guys have been all over the place. Like every 10 minutes, you got a flyer out. You're playing somewhere. You guys have been kicking. I can't even say kicking. Kicking backside. Thank you. See, I did it. See, aren't you proud of me? Anyway, you guys have been kicking butt all over the place.
You guys can say booty. You can say booty. They've been kicking some heavy booty.
Okay, go away. Jesus. Can't find good help. I'm telling you. It's bad. We're gonna keep it together today. But so lots and lots of shows this past year. And then new music, right? So I don't know where to start. Let's start with your latest album. Somebody, Walt.
Okay.
Kareem.
Kareem got the, is that for me? Cause I don't have that yet. Don't show me merch on here. Yeah. I will bother you. I will look for my mail tomorrow.
Okay, we'll get this to you. ASAP.
Thank you. But let's hear about, Kareem, go ahead. Tell us about the new album.
Well, it's called Dragon Burn, and it's an EP on Manicat Records. And we got some great songs on here. Sump for Nothing, Bombs Are Dropping, Dragon Burn, Eviction, Go, 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 and Run 'Em Out. Some bangers for you. We've been playing them live. Really excited about them. We got some new stuff coming up too, but this is the EP that's out now.
So out of all of those tracks, which one would you guys say you love playing the most?
Run 'Em Out.
Eviction.
Yeah, what else?
It's Run 'Em Out for me so far too.
Okay. Who said Eviction? Was that you, Jay?
Yeah.
Well, which one do you dig the most on that, the new album?
I dig them all.
I knew that was coming. I knew. So why do you guys like that one? Both of what, you said Run 'Em Out, yeah. No?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, why do you guys the like riff that one? Is super powerful to me, and it's got this great intro, and it's just chunky and heavy and groovy and just all the things that, you know, I want to play to. So that's my take on it.
All right.
Yeah, all that for me, and I love Jay's lyrics on that, and Walt's interspersing in between Jay's lyrics and that. I just think it's a heavy hitter. I love that one.
I don't know if I've heard that one, unless you guys put it up on socials, because I don't have the actual full album. Which one did I listen to a couple of times? The one you liked, was it called Eviction?
Yeah, Eviction. That's probably my favorite because it gets a little me, it gets a little Walt on the lyrics. I love the bounce that is provided by Kareem, Mark, and T-Bone, who's not here. But, oh man, like, even when we talked about this numerous times, I don't know why that one sticks out for me so much besides those, like, things I just said, but it's definitely, it's my number one.
More fun to play live, I'm guessing, too, huh?
For me, yeah. I love that one. I mean, I love them all, me but too. That one for me is my top.
Yay. No, I remember it was good to have just you two with me last time, but I really felt like something was missing because I didn't have all the other fellas. And you said something, the drummer. You used the term chunky, so I know that you're a drummer, right? That's drummer speak all day. That's drummer all day. Like, they're always coming with, it has to, yeah.
Chunky.
You know what I mean? It's chunky. I'm like, there's the drummer. There it is, yeah. Right there.
Chunky. I like chunky.
Something I can stick my teeth in, too.
Nobody asked. Oh, God. Please don't encourage him. Don't.
I like chunky. Mm-hmm.
We're I'm trying like to chunk. Get through my, listen, it's been a long day. Could you just, like, Jay, you could fall out of your chair again today. It's going to happen at some point. It will happen.
Yeah, it probably
it's
will.
It's going to happen. You guys played The Sardine.
Love The Sardine.
I was born Sardine. There. That's actually my hometown. I was born over there. So right, there's a lot home. Of different punk artists that came and run through Pedro. How'd you guys like it? How was that show?
Excellent.
Awesome.
Go back.
I love The Sardine, a good friend of ours who recorded our previous album, Take Control, Adam Fuller. He has a studio a couple of blocks away from The Sardine. He also works there and does sound as of a few years ago. So I'll actually be seeing that guy in a few hours. I got a gig.
Nice. Yeah. No, I'm thinking about getting back over there. My uncle is a bass player. He's been playing in town Jesus, probably 30 plus years or whatever. So he knows the folks over there as well, and he's been bugging me about it too. So we might have to make another appearance over there.
Come on down. I'll be there Thursday.
Yeah, not Thursday. That's a week. Some of us got to go to work. You know what I mean? I got to.
Me
I wish.
Too?
Bet. But yeah, so I wanted to ask you about that because I'm thinking about going over there as well and doing something over at the Sardine.
If you let me know, my guy will be doing sound. Our guy will be doing sound, and I'll try to come out and support.
Will do. I appreciate that. But yeah, what do you guys have coming up? What are we working on? No, hold on. I want to talk about you guys playing with Living Color. Because I did, Corey was one of my first guests on here. So we chit-chatted a little bit here and there, and we keep in touch on socials every blue moon. How was that? Because that was a hell of a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seattle was an amazing time. You know, we had some logistical issues that we came together as a group and our manager to kind of overcome to put on a stellar show for the Black and Loud Festival. We want to shout them out. We're very grateful for that opportunity. It's funny, from my personal standpoint with Living Color, my first time playing in Fishbone was 2009, the day before I turned, 24. And we opened for Living Color in San Francisco at the Regency Ballroom. So it's kind of like a full circle moment. Because they loosely know me from all the time that I worked. And right before we played in Seattle, the day before, we were jamming. Me, Mark was there for Norwood's 60th birthday. So it felt like Black and Loud started early. And then no sleep, flew to Seattle, kicked all the butt.
Very all good. The butt. Just don't
we
say chunky,
all right. We kicked off the bus, and then we had to get out of there with no sleep. But I think we came, we saw, we conquered. You know, I think everybody who was able to see us was thoroughly impressed, and we're grateful for that opportunity, I'm sure.
Because I don't give a butt, I can say damn beavers build them. Mr. Norwood, I didn't get to go to the 60th birthday because somebody didn't get back to me, and I don't care. I'm putting him on blast. However, I did have him on here, and I made him do a Bootsy Collins impression, so who cares, right? I don't know if you listened to it, but I sure did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And that's what you get. That's what you get, Norwood, because I wanted to go. What was your take on the show with Living Color? How'd you like that? Look at that smile. Do you see that smile? This is why. I'm not supposed to have favorites, but anyway. How'd you like it?
Who, me?
You.
I wish I could see y'all, but.
You can't?
No.
Well, see you though, and we can hear you, so.
Okay, it was plenty of fun for me. That's all I can tell you.
You just had a good time?
I just went up there, had a good time. You know, I'm too old to get extracurricular. I just hang out and have a good time. It was
beautiful. So no dirty activity for Dirty Walt due to he timed out. You just aged out of the...
Other than talk about my microphone in the alley and having the ladies laugh at me. Other than that, it was a great time.
You know what? Like, you make me want to make you a plate of food or something. I just can't with Walt. I just can't. Anybody else have anything to say about the experience of playing with Living Color over in, it was Seattle, right? Over in Seattle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. We had played with them, I want to say maybe like 10 years prior to that at the El Rey down here in L.A. Uh-huh. It was the last time we did a show with them. So it's always good to link up. I always wish it would happen more. with you know, our band and other bands who are traveling the same path, get together more and do more of these shows. But yeah, it was a great experience.
No, I think it was awesome. I am a huge fan and supporter of functions like that, where it's being politically correct, when it's people of color, that's what they call us now, doing that together, working together and putting shows together. I would love to see more of that, 100%.
Yeah,
I really like that. Nobody got put out or beat up or, you know, none of the other shenanigans that you see. So yeah, I think that I'm really glad you guys participated in that. I was excited that you guys did that, for sure. I was.
Oh yeah, good times.
Right? And what are you doing next? What's next? Next show, next recording? What you guys got?
Shows coming up maybe a little later in the year. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course we're working on new music. New music all the time. It's nonstop. As we just released that EP Dragon Burn in July, you will be on the lookout for, annually we do a Christmas song that's kind of spearheaded by our other member who's not here, T-Bone. I wish he would be here to speak on it, but, you know, on behalf of him, we know we have new music coming out, some shows coming out locally and away from California, hopefully. But most importantly, new music to look out for on Manic Cat Records.
What did you say about Christmas?
So annually we put out a Christmas song. So you can look out for another Year of the Dragon Christmas rocking time, a rocking time.
The question is, can you beat Mary Thickmas, though? I don't think anybody can top. And it's unfortunate that that was my idea. And then Johnny just got a little overzealous and started naming. He put captions. If you go on the website, there's captions next to each design. And I didn't ask him to do that. He was just being his normal, helpful self. And so one of them, God, what was it? Rock Around the Thickmas Tree was one. What was the other one, Johnny?
I think we wish you a Merry Thickmas.
We wish you a Merry Thickmas. You see what I'm saying? Like, give him an inch, and he just, it's not right.
It takes a thick mile.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes a thick inch.
Terrible.
You know, I'm a creative. I can't help myself at times. I get lost in the art.
It wasn't your art. It was my design. How are you going to name my... Anyway.
Semantics. Ridiculous. Semantics. Just semantics. It's all. It's like it's both of ours. We just keep it down in my house.
So I tell you what, if I get my CD... Do they call them CDs still? God, I feel old. Then maybe you guys will get a Mary Thickmas shirt, or hey, they're pretty hot. I like them. Or just a Thickdemic shirt, or a Funkdemic shirt. We'll see. You got to raise your hand if you're a thick fan, and if you're not, then you can have a regular shirt. Walt, I know you want a Mary Thickmas shirt. I know you want a Mary Thickmas shirt. Walt, am I right? Yeah.
For sure.
Exactly.
That's my man. That's my man.
Oh, yeah.
So do you guys all live in total different places? Like, how far apart are you geographically? I was just curious as to how you guys come together to rehearse and stuff like that. How far apart is everybody?
We're not that far, but you know, if there was no traffic, it'd be real easy. When the traffic creeps up in LA, it makes it a little more challenging, but Kareem and I are real close, and Walt's pretty close, and T-Bone. I think Jay's got the farthest commute to rehearsals and recordings and stuff.
I'm sad now. There's somebody named T-Bone, and they're not on here. Do you know what I could do with that name? Just the name alone. I would cut up for about a good 20 minutes. I'm sad.
It's gonna be worth it. It's you're missing it now, but eventually when it happens, yeah, it's gonna be mm-hmm.
right.
It'll be yeah, for that's sure okay. worth it.
No, I had another musician on and he was talking about how now people can go separately to the studio, just record their parts and things like that, and then they just kind of compile the songs together. And he was just saying how he didn't enjoy that. He preferred when everybody was in the studio together, working together, not this person here, this person there. In their case, everybody kind of spread out and was living in different states. So they weren't able to come together and record all the time like they needed to. But he was just saying that there's a big difference with the feel of the music when everybody can't come together and do what they got to do in the same space. So that's yeah. where that question came from. Do you feel the same way as far as like technology and recording? Like, do you prefer?
No, it's better when we're together in one room and we can kind of work stuff out together. We bounce ideas off each other. You know, if I play something that sucked, they might tell me, Mark, that sucked, play something else. So it's always good to have that real feedback in the room. And that's how we keep each other sharp and keep each other's focus. So I don't take it for granted that we're actually close enough that we can get together at least once a week and collaborate.
Is that when you guys link up at least once a week, you would say, to rehearse and things?
For sure. Rhythm section gets together at least once a week.
Nice. And who does most of the writing? Who's writing the lyrics?
Me and Dirty Walt.
Dirty Walt and who?
Me and Dirty Walt. Jay and Dirty Walt.
Oh, Lord. See, you know, I was hoping. So the two of you get together and write together, or you just throw stuff out there while you're practicing, or how does that work?
It's a little both. So if the rhythm section presents like a new idea that they've been working on that we haven't heard in rehearsal, you know, I'll sit, come back, you know, and a lot of times Dirty Walt and I will like ping ideas back and forth from each other, and then we'll present that to the rhythm section after we've had some time to like go over our concepts separately. You know, as long as I can make time to go see Dirty Walt, I will go see Dirty Walt and we will sit and work through parts for sure.
So that explains some of the more interesting lyrics, Walt. It's all coming, it all makes sense now. I knew it was you.
lyrics, but yeah. You know, I can't write no regular lyrics.
I knew it was you. I said, oh, that was him. I knew. I absolutely knew.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I'm
dirty.
See, he's baiting me. I'm being good, Johnny. I'm being so good.
You're doing very well.
Thank you.
Kudos.
Not a curse word was uttered. Not at all. So yeah, what do you contribute to this past year? With how busy you guys got, you guys really seem like you were just doing show after show for a little bit there. Was it more with management that got you going more? What put a fire under your butts?
Well, we all
our manager.
But our manager, you know, figured out ways for us to get out there and get it going on.
Yep. And shout to Rod Core, Rod Palmer.
Rod's the coolest. But no, I did. I noticed it just kind of picked up, and then I was just seeing you guys all over. And Jay, we're not talking about that band, but how'd you manage to be over in a whole nother band, Jay?
Oh, it's hard. It's a lot of scheduling. Like I said, I have a whole separate gig going on in about an hour and a half with a whole different band. And it is hard to juggle. It's hard to switch musical gears. You know, for instance, like we just had a show a couple of weeks ago now with Green Jelly. That was an amazing time. Shout out to Green Jelly for having us. That was a killer time out in Orange County. And then later in that week, I had, I don't know, four different shows with four different bands in a week. And that was a lot. That was a lot.
Usually it's the drummer that's in like 10 other bands. So you got him. I got a saying, I hate to, no offense, I got a saying, it's always the drummer. That's my saying, it's always the drummer. When they used to hit me up when I was doing shows back in the day, they'd be like, oh, we got some news. And I'd be like, is it the drummer? It's always the drummer. I'm gonna make a shirt that says it's always, don't get upset. It's always the drummer. How many bands are you in over there? I don't, is it true? At least you're in at least one or two more bands. Am I right or wrong?
Unfortunately, you are wrong.
What? Yeah. No, that must have been a recent thing.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you're playing with these cats and the music that you're making, you know, you feel it. You feel like you're being authentic. You feel that they're being authentic and it's coming together. It makes everything else look, you know, not quite, you know, I mean, it's great and everything, but I just knew that I wanted to concentrate on being in a band. And this is this is the band.
We need to give him an award, the drummer award. Do you understand? We need to. Wow.
He deserves it.
No, I mean, it's always like that. They're always in a bunch of bands. Johnny, you're over there in the corner. Did you want to say something? Do you have any questions for these guys?
Man, I'm just sitting here absorbing all the greatness. All the greatness.
You know really? I mean? That was the laziest answer I've ever. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that you don't understand. Is that we are experiencing some technical difficulties, but I'm so good at what I'm doing that you guys have no clue that we're experiencing technical difficulties and everything is still in working order. So I'm trying to keep this boat afloat, baby. I'm trying to keep everything moving, if you will.
Yeah.
There he is. Don't.
Yes. So please excuse my lazy answer. However, this is far from a lazy situation at the moment.
No, I mean, it looks good to me, and that's all that matters, huh?
Yeah.
It looks good to us.
Yes. Yes.
So no questions for them at this moment?
All my questions are aimed at my software right now.
Dude, I'm glad one of us knows how to do it, because I am not. He's the tech person.
At the moment. Completely befuddled at said moment.
You know, it might be because we have all the Brady squares going on, so it's a little bit different. That could be it.
We'll find out. We might see another box with me in it in just a minute. Don't be alarmed, guys. There's really only one.
They're saying we can have up to eight people on at the same time. So right now we're at six. I actually want to try eight really soon. So just get ready.
I'm readying myself. I'm readying myself. But you know, this is not about me right now and what I've got going on. This is not about me at all. It's about our guests and what they've got. You can hear me whine about my stuff any other day of the week, any other time.
See, and when he finally talks, he's saying something smart. You see that? But no.
You're lucky I can't pull myself out right now.
I know. That's why I'm messing with you.
You're lucky I have to sit.
That's why I'm messing with you, because he usually will just disappear if he doesn't like what I say and he can't leave right now. This is awesome. Awesome. But no. She said you had a few shows coming up that you're working in the studio on a couple of things. Do you have plans for like a whole nother album or just like maybe a single coming out?
Oh, yeah, Christmas. And then we're working on some right now.
You're going to have to send me the Christmas song. Like,
yeah. What day does a Christmas one drop?
Ooh, to be determined. We don't have a date on it yet, but we usually put it out like the week of.
Oh, really? The week of Christmas?
Week of Christmas on YouTube. You can go on our back catalog. We got a gang of them up there already. We did a Grinch one.
I remember that
one. Last year was a mashup. It was Run Run Rudolph, which was mashup with Chuck Berry and MOD and Ghost Town. So yeah, nice. You gotta check it.
Now, when it comes around the holidays, if you play, are you gonna do the Christmas song, or do you do it live?
Only ever done it once. We did it one time as an instrumental intro.
Uh-huh.
And they used to always be instrumental, but last year we got Jay and Walt to get on it too. So we'll see what T-Bone has in store this year. He's the master of the Christmas track.
Well, you make sure you tell him I said hello. And his name is T-Bone, and that's all I needed to know.
For sure.
That's all I needed to know. The name. That was enough. Everybody has his cool names in this group. And Jay, I don't know about you. Like, I ain't seen you doing no flying lately. You've been fairly on the ground this year.
Yeah. I've been grounded.
He was flying. He's been flying.
No, this year I noticed I didn't see any pictures with his feet in the air or anything.
Well,
there's one
right up
now. Yeah. I'm saving it. Something special.
Well, hopefully you have a good landing. So remember back in the day, that was normal for people to jump off the stage and you would carry them around. Does anybody happen to notice the very interesting style of dance that these kids are doing at these shows now? Have you noticed? Have you been to a show where it looks like they're, instead of like moshing like back in the day, it looks like they're kung fu fighting. I don't know what they're doing. Have you noticed? Like the little moves they got going on in the pits now?
I'm gonna be honest, unless I'm in the pit, I can't see from the stage.
Dude, it looked like they were skipping, hopping, and kung fu fighting. I was like, I have no clue. Like,
what show was that, Amazon?
It was when I went to Punk Island in New York last year.
Okay.
They had a bunch of the hardcore. You guys should do Punk Island. Anyway.
We should.
Got you. But anyway, yeah, so the hardcore band comes out, and then all of a sudden the kids are in circles, and they start what I perceive to be skipping. And then they're doing some kind of like kung fu fighting, karate, like, oh man. And I just was like floored. I had never seen up close this particular thing. And all that to say, Jay, if you were to jump off the stage during that, they would drop you, buddy. You're getting dropped.
Yeah, I'm floating that picture.
Yeah.
Right there.
You're getting dropped, buddy. Yeah, it was bad. But you know, every generation has their, I know, I see it. What's wild is I can actually see it. And normally I wear glasses and can't see a damn thing. So I said, damn. Yeah. No, I did. I noticed that he hadn't done any flying lately. So we're going to have to pick up that. Thank you. We're going to have to pick it up.
It'll happen. One of these days.
Dude, I couldn't do it anymore. Like the stuff I used to do back in the day, I couldn't do anymore. I just sit back and let them do it. But, I'm trying to think of something else I should cover that I'm going to forget when you guys leave. So we've talked about music coming up. We've talked about touring out of the area. Any of that going on in the near future? Like, what's that looking like for you?
Yeah, hopefully like a West Coast run, right? Mm-hmm. West Coast run coming up probably next year, early sometime.
Just like up the, like Oregon and up
yeah,
that way?
Yeah, make our way up to Seattle and then come back down again. Maybe do Vegas and something in Arizona, like do Phoenix or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That would be good. I know that some more people are they're hesitant to travel right now too. So I feel like some of that's been an effect on certain bands touring and stuff like that as well.
Yeah,
I'm not getting on a plane right now.
Expensive too.
Yeah. Well, no, I was good on flying. When all the flights started falling out of the sky, I was like, well, I'll just be right here in LA. Be right here. If I can't drive there, I'm just not going to go. That's what we're going to do. But it seems to be a little more fly friendly-ish right now. So, yeah, I would like to go check you guys out somewhere else outside of SoCal. Like a Vegas show would be fun.
I think we got one in the works, actually.
Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vegas would be... Look at Walt. Yeah. He likes that. See? Vegas.
Yeah.
He perked right up when he heard Vegas. Remember, said you were too old. Remember, that's what you said. You were too old. That's what you said, Walt. So you gotta take that with you to Vegas.
I got memories in my mind.
Oh, Lord.
Ah, yeah.
Double oh, my gosh. Look at you.
Yeah.
Doing his, over there doing his thing, right? I couldn't do it. And so I'm very appreciative. Even though I give him a hard time, I'm appreciative of anybody that's tech savvy. Because I am not. It's not my wheelhouse at all. So let's go around. This is like the Brady Bunch. I can't get over it. You guys, from what I understand, all really like a diverse group of music, right? I could get the feel that everybody kind of has something that they've always kind of been into from way back when. What are some of the musical influences you guys had from when you were young, like before you started getting into playing shows? Who made you say, yes, I want to be a musician? What was it? We can go with you, Mark, and just work our way around.
Well, really, my dad was kind of my first. My dad and my uncle were my first influences. My uncle was a bass player, and my dad played a little bit of guitar, so they turned me on. And they were into like OC Bisa, Funkadelic, you know, Chuck Brown and some of that stuff. So that was kind of my first introduction. And then my brother was more into like the classic rock. He was into Hendrix, Zeppelin, Led Zeppelin, Cream. He turned me on to stuff like that. And then when I started going to my own shows, like being old enough to go shows, I would go catch Bad Brains or Spies, 24/7 Spies.
Hi, Jimmy.
Fugazi. So those were in Rollins Band, Infectious Grooves. Those were some of the groups who I was really into when I was first picking up the guitar.
You said Infectious Grooves. Dude, I love, my goodness.
Man.
So I'm always imitating, you know, they do the Bootsy-esque.
Oh, Sarsipius? You
know, little dude. So I'm always walking around doing my little impression and it'll come out of nowhere. I might have done it when Norwood was on. But wasn't he talking about the love you may find is the love that you may never find because it's the love that you may never find it? It was something ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Something like
they're
that.
Always saying
some craziness, some crazy
stuff. So I would listen to them, of course, because the bass was sick, but also because of the little stuff in between before the songs and after the songs.
Yeah, they had good skits and Robert Trujillo killing the bass.
Man,
and
sick.
It's funny, I teach music and one of my students, his dad the other day was like, yo, I played drums on that first Infectious record. I had no idea.
No way.
Yeah, but that was Steve Perkins played drums on that first record. And I guess they did a show at the Garden Amphitheater not so long ago in Santa Ana. We were playing the same night, so I didn't get to go check it out. But
oh, that's neat. I don't think I've been to the Garden Amp.
Good little venue.
Jay.
Yes, ma'am.
Musical, ma'am? You're so cute. Get in my pocket, Jay, right now. God.
I'm still kind of in work mode. You gotta understand a third ma'am all the time.
I appreciate it. I love it. So you can man me all day. Musical influences, what got you going?
As a kid, my first kind of foray into being exposed to music that I can really remember. So on my dad's side of the family, extended family is from Gary, Indiana. So my dad is a huge Jackson 5 fan.
Jackson's, of course.
He, you know, would play, that would be the cleanup music. And if I was like too hyper, he'd have me jumping on a trampoline, listening to the Jackson 5 greatest hits. Other than that, like, you know, my mom and my dad, like, exposed me to, you know, some old soul and late 60s, early 70s music. When I had the opportunity to join them, the band in middle school. I was in eighth grade. I was 12, turning 13. I wanted to play drums or trumpet, and there were way too many drummers, and there were way too many trumpet players. But they let me try trumpet, and I couldn't make any kind of noise in the mouthpiece. So my band director at the time, Mr. Martin, he was like, trombone. And I was like, okay. Oh, wow. And I stuck with trombone. I fell in love. Throughout high school, my high school band director, Mr. Pullum, he really like worked us very hard musically. We loved it though, because we kind of enjoyed the challenge. I really fell in love with jazz. My kind of trombone idols were like J.J. Johnson and Curtis Fuller and like High Winding. Just a lot of the classic jazz trombone players. But what really struck with me was funk music in all its, you know, kind of capacity. And so for me, the peak of the mountain for trombone players of funk music is Fred Wesley from James Brown's band. I love him. I thank Norwood for the opportunity to play in Trulio Disgracious and make funk out of nowhere. And then having the opportunity to play alongside Fred Wesley through the Trulio Disgracious family was one of my greatest achievements in life as a trombone player. And I got to tell him how much he meant to me as a up-and-coming trombone player when I was a kid and as a professional to this day. So I will always cherish that and hold that dear to my heart.
That's neat.
So that's kind of where, like, the background for me comes from, like family in Gary, Indiana, through my formative years, jazz and funk, and really gravitating to funk over everything else, and just loving all kinds of music as a result, like experiencing and exploring so much more through high school and college, and then getting.
You played in college, yeah?
So funny, I did not play in any UCLA sponsored like performances. So I would have to. I got an opportunity to tour with a band of alternative hip hop called the Wild Bunch. A bunch of older, one like generation before me. They all graduated from the same high school. Were all taught under Fernando Pullum as well. They created their own band a few years before I got to high school. So I was super impressed with those guys. I of course, you know, had a huge opportunity. One of my, I guess, mentors from that band, it's actually his birthday party tonight. I don't know if I'll make it, but whatever. Shout out to Young Mame. I got a gig first. His party's already been going on, so I don't know. But they gave me the opportunity to play in college, like as a professional. Record music, to travel, to tour. My very first tour was with those guys, opening for Slightly Stupid out here on the West, man. And you know, a few places in and out of the state. And of course, thank you to Mr. Pullum, because again, right after college, he gave me an opportunity to teach music. Only because Dirty Walt had stepped away from Fishbone, was Fernando playing in Fishbone at the time, here and there. And that very first gig that I had the opportunity to play in Fishbone was because he was like, hey, on a Monday, hey, you want to play with Fishbone on Friday? And I was like, you going to give me the day off? And he said, yeah. And that was kind of all she wrote. Like, I took that opportunity and I went and I did as good a job as I could. So I'm very grateful for all of my mentors.
I'm not going to lie, I was looking forward to the picture of you in the drum line with the outfit on.
I mean, I got.
You know what I mean?
I got old uniform pictures.
Like the college ones, you know? I was like, oh
no,
at
UCLA. No, I actually had to, because I was not affiliated at UCLA and I was studying music history. A lot of my classmates thought I dropped out because, like, I would go on tour for a month. And I turn in all of my work in advance to my professors. So my professors knew what I was doing, but all my fellow classmates just thought, you know, I was like this random black kid who just like dropped out because it's like that. And, you know, then I'd show up like a month later and they were like, we thought you dropped out. And I was like, no, I just turned in all my work and I went on tour. It was like, and they were always
touring. That's what I was doing.
They would say, was it UCLA sponsored? And I was like, no, I'm just out here making music.
Wow. That's dope.
Doing the things that y'all wish y'all could do.
All right, Walt. You know, Walt. We're gonna be on our best behavior. Me and you. We in this together today, Walt. Okay. So we're gonna talk about some of your musical influences from way back when. You gotta reach way back there.
Wow. Well, you know, I got my family influences. You know, my daddy put me up on the trumpet, start me off with the bugle, because, you know, he's an army man. So he showed me taps, reveille, all that good stuff. That's how I started on the trumpet. And then, you know, on my mama's side, they all up in the church. So I would see all the traveling church acts at a young age, you know, start singing there and then move on to, you know, ridiculous stuff like James Brown coming out of a helicopter at the Ohio State Fair.
Nice.
Like that, you know, Caesar Jackson 5, me and my little brother on our own, that started our going to concerts on our own thing, like babies. It's crazy.
And who would you say was somebody that you heard coming up and you were like, yes, this is who I want to play like or be like? Was there anybody? Because I know you always do your own thing, but there's got to be somebody that you heard them and you said, man.
I'd say the biggest influence is P-Funk. Because after I heard P-Funk, there was no going back. And then after I saw it was ridiculous. I had to be at every show. So every time they come to L.A., I was there, except for an Aqua Boogie tour. That was a bad year, 79. You know, I was getting in too much bad things at the time. So, you know, I missed that one, but I saw all the others.
Did you? I bet that was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. I missed, I'm younger, and I missed a lot. I feel like I missed a lot of the good shows that everybody talks about. Missed it.
Oh, yeah. The whole 70s, you know, the 80s, you know. But, you know, we always had good influences all throughout the music business. They would talk to us. We'd see them, like Lakeside. When I was younger, they'd come over and hang out. And, you know, I go see them rehearse over there on Adams. You know, see some shows, learn stuff from them. You know, it's just a revolving door of the who's who's of the old school.
You took some of that? You took some of that and brought it over here, huh?
You got to. You will not be able to burn anything up without this.
I agree. No, I think musically, it seems like we go in a circle, right? We start with this music and it kind of progresses and everybody thinks it's this new sound and these new things. And then you end up coming full circle. And all of a sudden you hear a song and you go, wait a minute, that's such and such a song. Or that's so-and-so's rhythm or, you know, hip hop, snatching everybody's beats from back in the day and revamping those. I've been on blues lately. I've been on a blues kick, like Delta blues and just funky old three strings left on their guitar ass blues, you know, just man.
Yeah.
You can hear it. You can hear it when you listen. You can hear where it progresses and you can be like, oh, there's some gospel in there. There's some country right there. There's some rock right there. You hear it in there. So I think that recognizing that stuff is important. And my favorite instrument, drummer man. I'm just giving you a hard time because I can. Some of your musical influences from when you were young, some bands that made you want to be a musician, wanted to be a rock star. Like, who was it where you're like, yes, who was your person?
Well, in the beginning, I got to thank my mom for her record collection, because it was from there that I got my first exposure. And if I could pinpoint the album, it would have to be Inner Visions by Stevie Wonder. And of course, Talking Book 2 and Songs in the Key of Life, those three albums
Absolutely.
We're so diverse. And that was such a great thing to fall in love with as a kid. Like, I used to just sit and watch the record on the turntable and just stare at it while I was listening to the music at the same time. And that was my favorite record to go put on, and just love the Tamla label, and opening up the artwork and just getting completely lost in this beautiful sonic expression that was so diverse, like what you were talking about. The diversity in those records makes you feel like anything and everything is possible and should be possible. And then it was just great to learn later on that Stevie, you know, played drums too, and, you know,
did it all.
He did it all. Yeah. And, you know, and then to link up with, you know, I have to mention my mentor, Philip Fisher from Fishbone. You know, hearing Fishbone, it was like, wow, here's the diversity that I heard in Stevie Wonder's music. You know, where it was just so broad and the appeal was so, you know, perfect for blending things, but making them new and making them heartfelt and making them exciting. And so, you know, I gotta say that, you know, at my core, it's like, you know, Fishbone Soldier for life.
Yeah. No, I think, don't tell anybody, but I was like I was a Zeppelin fan. I'm not gonna lie. And not necessarily for the lyrics, but the musicians were sick. The my God. And a lot of drummers always mention Zepp, right? Obviously. But yeah, I got like super into Zepp before I got into the blues. I got into the blues when I was older. And then I learned, of course, that they stole a lot of their style from, well, like everyone else, from the blues. But that was a band that I could listen to over and over and over, because you had the drumming, you had the amazing guitar riffs, you had the keys and the organs and all of that. And I don't know what the heck woo-hoo, Robert Plant was doing exactly, but it fit, right? And when I used to tell my punk friends, used to clown me all the time. They'd be like, what are you doing with your life? I'd be like, no, but they're cool. They're like, no, man, like, look at the singer. Look what he's wearing. Look, what are you doing, you know? So it's just interesting how a certain sound will just stick with you and you carry it with you as you get older, or in my case, younger. And but yeah, I think that I really find interesting. You guys have all these different personalities and you manage to mesh it together and make it work. A lot of people's have told me, because I've never been in a band, I'm not a musician per se, that it's like being in a relationship or a marriage. Some of them are like, it's a marriage you can't get out of. But I find it fascinating that you guys can just work together and make a sound. I appreciate what you're doing. I think you guys are awesome. I want my CD. This is me lobbying for my CD. I'm just kidding.
We gonna get it to you for sure.
No, I know, I'm just kidding. But I appreciate you guys being here. I don't want to suck up too much of your time. This is my third recording for the day. And I did put this on for you guys. Thank you. I change every single podcast. Every episode I change. Beautiful. So thank you. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I was so tired. I was like, I'm trying to kick coffee right now and do tea and juice and all this kind of a thing. So I'm just mad about life in general. Like, mad.
Sending you good vibes.
Well, our first recording was at 9 a.m. because they were in New York. So, yeah, I was waiting for the green juice to kick in and become coffee, and it didn't happen. But I'm going to wrap it up so you guys can go on with your day. Jay, you got 17 performances to go to and a party. Walt, I don't even want to know what you'd be doing after this. I'm not going to.
Don't add.
Don't ask, don't tell. Well,
Not at all.
I'm happy with. I'm just leave you alone. And to the most fabulous hair I've ever seen. Oh my God, that's not fair at all. It's not fair, and it's not.
No, it's not.
Mark, where'd you go? There you are.
I got kicked out for a sec. I don't know what happened.
You know what? Listen, we don't either. So we're just gonna work together. The main thing is that when it's on the podcasting platforms is they can't see us. So as long as they can hear us, it's good. He tells me that every single time we record, because I'll be like, but the video, and he's like, well, to manage expectations, that's his favorite thing. So he'll let me know that it's not as important as the fact that we can hear you. So thank you guys so much. Mark, that beard is nice. It's a nice beard is what I'm going to say to you right now. Very nice.
I appreciate love that.
Lovely. And I'll let Johnny do his spiel and get us out of here so I can have more decaf or something. I don't know.
I was trying to pull in a quick zoom in on Mark's beard, but I was pushing the wrong
button. It's fabulous.
But there it is.
Johnny,
it
don't is. Get jealous. Don't be jealous,
I'm
Johnny.
I'm going to do my best. You know,
no,
I'm
going to
do my best.
I don't know. Was it last year that you like started looking like Dub C?
Oh yeah. I can't. The thing is, I can't grow braids or dreads on the top of my head anymore. So I was like, all right, well, this is
he looked growing. Like a thug. You understand me? He was just straight.
The whole thing, yeah.
He could have put a braid on it and just terrible.
I was going through something. I was going through a phase last year.
His beard was going through a phase, is what happened. But you know what, Jay? Don't encourage me because I'm.
Technical difficulties are saving the day for some jokes today. I'm going to tell you that. All right the time. That's right.
What was that? Oh, my God. Don't encourage me. I'm bad enough as it is.
All right. I've decided I'm growing it back out again. We're going to go all in. God. We're going to commit to it.
I'm going to start calling you Dub C. Don't call Dub C.
WC. We'll go with that.
Oh, that's the name. That's what's going to happen. All right, so do your thing. Get us out of here. Wrap us up. And
you know what? And this one is going to be short but sweet because, you know, we've had some hiccups. You know, the listeners will never know because
you look just, at Jay. Well, you'll know because I said it.
But we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. I want to thank everybody for coming through and being a part of today's episode and hanging out with us of all the places you guys could have been and all the places Jay is heading out to. I'm glad that you swung by for just a little bit. Jay, I know you got places to go, people to see, so thanks for hanging out with us. Same for you, Mark, Kareem, Dirty Walt, and for Amazon, the queen of everything, it's your man, 50 Grand MC Johnny T, a.k.a. you know who, Thick Flair, signing off. And remember to be kind to your mind and everyone else along the way, too. Until next time, Punkdemic Podcast, signing out. Like last year, we're out of here.
Don't
rise like yeast, fool.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
We got balloons.
I love balloons.
Thank you.
We got balloons.
I would also like a pony to go with those balloons. Thank you. I want a pony, a CD, and those balloons. It's going down.
Thus far, the coolest ending ever.
Right?
For a podcast, right?
I love it. I'm loving it right now.
We're out of here. Until next time. Later.